Hi, my name's Todd Coppinger. I'm an IT supervisor within OINT software testing, and I'm a manager of the quality assurance automation team.
Okay, well, let's begin with, I guess, your major concerns in the title that you have. It sounds like all of the software being developed in VA, and there's a lot of it, kind of comes through your shop.
Correct, yes. We have approximately 600 applications in the VA, and each product line, they use their own different automated tools that suit their needs. So it's not like one tool fits everybody's needs. So everybody has their own tool that meets their needs because we have older legacy systems, new systems, mobile devices. So we use very basic tools in the VA for automated testing. Some are very basic, such as plugins into their browsers for, recording automated test scripts. And others are very complex, commercial off-the-shelf products. Others are homegrown. And that's one thing that my team specializes. So the QA operations team, we call the QA ops team, we use a homegrown tool that offers a wide gamut of modules that adapts to a wide range of testing requirements and platforms, as I said earlier, such as web applications, terminal emulators, window apps, mobile devices, and also API programming interfaces. And the purpose of our team is really to try and standardize across the different product lines the automation testing process. So we try to make our tool as flexible as possible to meet the product line's testing requirements, because each product line has their own requirements. So we call this tool the automation tool interface. It's a very, very robust tool. The framework, we have constantly enhanced it over the past 10 years it has been developed. And it can be maintained locally, even on a mobile device, all the way up to the enterprise level. So basically what it is, it's a suite of open source libraries. And I'm an open source guy. I came from the private sector, so I'm really big on using open source technology because you don't have to worry about budgeting. There's a lot of documentation out there on the web. So it's built on the open source libraries that we kind of like bundle together into our framework. And it's kind of modeled into a three-tier architecture, and it's called the Page Class Architecture. And it's been around in the industry for a long time. And when I was in the private sector for automatic data processing back in like 2007, we used the same type of architecture. So it makes it very easy for the non-programming types, such as QA analysts, to use. So we hide a lot of the complexity from the automation
Sure.
script writer. Because some of them have very, very basic programming. We have done all of the hard work. So in this three-tier architecture, at the very bottom layer, we call it the platform independent core. And there is a common set of code that is shared among the 55 plus product lines that are currently user framework. And I'd like to emphasize that this common code saves product lines 6 months of upfront automation script writing upfront. It handles all the complexities of finding components on an application page. We use built-in XPath and CSE selectors. In addition, it handles all the different flakiness with web browsers. So we've done all that hard work upfront. So we're saving
Sure,
product lines
sure.
thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars by doing this upfront work.
All right. Well, let me stop you right there for a second, because you definitely are a data processing guy. But I wanted to go back to one little point you made, which I think tells a lot about the picture. You mentioned you even can test terminal emulators, which means you really have a wide garden variety of applications that you are testing.
Yes, sir. So our older application, Vista A, which is what the current modernization, the Cerner efforts going to modernize and
Yes, know
replace.
it well.
Yeah, so we still have that. And that for years it's been difficult to automate. But coming from, I'm an ex-programmer and I have six developers on my team. And I knew it was could be done because I've done it in the private sector. We added some custom code, and actually it was quite little code. And the way we built it is what drives the automation script for these terminal emulators is our external data that we kept separate from our test scripts that actually drive it. So what's nice about it is we can share our test scripts through all these different product lines, and all they have to do is just change the data. It's data driven. And all of our automation modules are data driven. And we share a lot of common code. And that's one big thing about my team, sharing code, minimizing cost. With the VA, we have contractors that come and go. And when we have a standard in place and my team trains them, gets them up to speed, we're saving the taxpayers money. So it's an awesome thing. It's a really good thing.
Yeah, and maybe describe the testing routines in the sense of software lifecycle. So you might have a contractor or maybe people within VA that are developing a new module or a new extension or maybe a whole new application. And do you begin the testing at the coding and release of different blocks level and talk about how it happens throughout the lifecycle until and during deployment?
Yes. So for new application development, so our strategy is reflected in the flexibility as I described. So each product line develops software differently. It depends on their testing requirements. But what we have done is follow the DevSecOps model, right? So OINT is really big into DevSecOps, where testing is shifting left, right? Everything's done at the during the development process. So one reason why I named our team the quality op, excuse me, QA Ops, Quality Assurance Operations, is a relatively new term in the industry. So QA Ops is a sub-process within the DevSecOps. So QA Ops is when the coding is starting to begin with the developers. A story's written, a requirement's written to some system, maybe like Jira. While the developer's starting to code, the QA analyst is starting to write the test plans, start writing the test scripts. They're starting to think about the automation effort, hooking up a QA, a CI/CD pipeline. These are things that they're starting to think about and starting to, code, get in place. As code is starting to be pushed out to a QA environment, they're starting to execute their automated tests. One thing that I introduced and built about 5 years ago is a 508 scan. So at the time, we were using DQ, is a 508 accessibility API that they had out there, and I incorporated it in our test automation framework. And at the time, when we would get new code, we would run the scan, and we're actually doing it quarterly. And we noticed that we were finding like 230 something errors for one application. Then we said, you know what, we need to run this more often. So we said, let's run it every at the end of the sprint. And then we got it down to like 23 violations. But then as contractors come and go, there was an uptick in the number of 508 violations. So then we determined, let's do it, in each cycle, each week, each sprint cycle. So as the code is being pushed to QA, we would run it as part of our automation script. So what we're doing is we're doing everything early. We're shifting left in the process, which saves time and money, right? We're doing things up front rather than later.
And when you test, what do you specifically test for? I mean, functionality, but what about, say, integration with components that it hasn't actually interacted with yet, for example?
Yes, that's the beauty of our framework. We offer a lot of different modules, and it's really simple the way we did it. The modules are out there. There's a configuration file, and all they have to do is uncomment out one line of code and say, hey, I want to bring down the Vista module, or I want to bring down the API for integration module testing or 508. And we're using a Maven technology in the background, which pulls down our dependencies that we have housed locally, a library, right? It pulls it down what they need. So it's real simple for the tester to write this code. So as far as what type of testing, it really depends on the needs. So we can do function testing. We can do regression testing with this framework. We have developers actually using it for unit testing because of the flexibility with it. Also, API testing is built in. So we can do, the web service calls, JSON, AJAX. We can do all those and even mobile. We just introduced a mobile module that's going to be in our next release next month, which we're excited about. You can actually run the test on your physical device. You can take your physical device, plug it in your computer, and you can run your test automation scripts and watch it on your handheld device, or you can do it in a terminal emulator. So we offer wide variety of modules based on their testing of requirements, what they're testing, you know, currently, and also performance. We also included JMeter. If they want to test performance, we can do that. And what's nice, we've had some clients, when they go through like an upgrade, when they're going through a legacy upgrade, new look and feel, right? They want to test, you know, the new widgets, how long it's taken to render a page or display a page because it's a new framework that built this web page because they're modernizing it. Well, with our framework, you can put in a timer and say, hey, this page is taking 30 seconds to load. We can log an error or a warning in the log file. Or if you have a long running script, because some of these scripts, you know, they take 4 hours, because some of these applications, you know, we're serving 15 million plus veterans, and some of these facing applications have 800 web pages to them. So these scripts can run like 6 hours at night and, or, you know, during the day. And if you want to be notified real time that a widget's taking 30 seconds or longer, we can send an email, a request to the appropriate people, or even through a Slack channel. We could send it through a Slack channel and say, hey, this web page is taking long. And
right.
They can put a triage team on it and get on it.
And that must vary by day of the week, time of the year, and it must kind of have a rolling effect across time zones too, I would think.
Yeah, yes, it does. But, you know, when we're running an automated test, it's usually in a little bit controlled environment, right, in a QA environment. But we do then have a pre-prod environment that mimics all the connection points, all the integration points that our production environments have. And that's where we usually put the timers in the pre-prod, because that's closely mimics what production is doing.
And do you find that this testing regime that you've described is also effective for, say, the classic type of data processing, where it's not a matter of loading web pages that is not necessarily citizen or veteran facing, but just the analytics and so forth done within VA for its own purposes?
Yes. So another module that we offer in this framework is a database connection. So behind the scenes, Oracle databases may be being updated, and we need to see if the change request or update or delete happened after maybe a suite of API tests were executed. And we can continue that workflow where automated scripts are kicked off, you know, running the UI. But then under the covers, we want to see, you know, what are the databases are doing, you know, stuff that people don't see, and making sure that the CRUD happened, right? And they can be notified that, hey, something failed, you know, the data's not right, or so forth. So we offer that module also in our framework.
And I wanted to ask you about cloud applications. As VA moves its own applications to cloud, or maybe uses software as a service from cloud-hosted providers of software applications, two different things. How do you make sure that those are under the test regime because the infrastructure is not VA's?
Well, yeah, we have a wide variety of different clouds. We have our own private clouds internally. And that's, you know, at first during the setup process of any test automated framework is, you know, getting everything connected, all the pipes connected. And that's hard, you know, going through one firewall, you know, going to one cloud to an external cloud to an internal cloud, external cloud can be very tricky. We work very closely with our security teams, and we have some modules that lets us sort of bypass certain things so we can run automated scripts, you know, through the different cloud environments. And it is a challenge, right? You know, making sure all the ports are open and connection pieces. And our framework is hosted in AWS. So our framework can be hosted in the cloud. It could be local on your local GFE, you know, your equipment. And it can be quite complex the way we have it set up in the cloud. Let me just give you a high level of what some of our product lines are doing in the cloud. So they'll have, the test script writers will write it locally and they'll push it up to GitHub. So their source control will be in GitHub. And then in the cloud, they may have Jenkins running. Jenkins is a build orchestrator. It pulls the code down. It'll pull from our internal and external libraries, wherever they may be. It'll compile it, it'll run it and execute it. So during execution time, we will set up a little virtual machine in the cloud, and that'll call out to other external parties running API scripts. And then the results are fed back into Jenkins and then also fed back into Jira and Xray. So Xray is free open source, our test management system for putting in our test cases. The results are fed back into that. And also, if you have a Slack channel, you get the results fed back into your Slack channel. So our team, I have two people that really specialize in setting up cloud environments and handling that because it is quite complex, connecting all the pieces.
And those pieces, of course, are connected over networking infrastructure and so forth. Does the testing, is it able to distinguish, say, if a performance problem is a result of the code or an API issue or a database issue versus a network issue that might be unrelated to the code?
No, we don't get that level of granularity. There's another performance team that kind of dives into that with the network and so forth. I mean, we can build in. That's the nice thing about my team is if you need something, we can build it. Just the flexibility of a module. If you need something like that, we can build it because we're basically using very, very basic Java. And our team motto is Semper Gumby. We're always flexible to your needs. So we've done a lot of custom code for our product lines. And if they need something like that, we can build it.
And by the way, do your people work in windowless rooms underground, or can they look outside once in a while?
Or one of our many of our my team members, they work remote. So I have people across the US, which is nice because we're in different time zones and our product lines are in different time zones. So we want to make sure we're there to help support them because what we do is we offer this free tool, this free open source tool. We offer free training to the contractors where we'll teach them very basic Java to get them up and running. And at first, there's a level of cone of uncertainty, right? When they first dive into a new tool. And as we train them and handheld them through, maybe months, maybe even 6 months, once they get a handle of it, then we turn them loose and they go into a support phase. So it's important for my team to be across the country so we're able to support them.
And I wanted to get back to the issue of software as a service, because one of the complaints you hear, and we've seen this happen on a widespread basis, is that they will push patches on their schedule. And that's one of the advantages. They say, well, it's always updated, you don't have to. But on the other hand, sometimes the patches break things. And
Oh, yes.
are you on top of that? And how do you stay ahead of them breaking something because they're trying to improve their product?
Yes, this can be very frustrating, especially with like a lot of the Salesforce stuff that's out there that we're using. You record a script or you write a script one day, and then 2 weeks later you find out there was an update to maybe the Salesforce or the page itself, and it fails. So my team, when we build our common core files, define components in the web page, my people have over 10, 15 years experience of writing test automation scripts and finding those issues. Maybe they use find it by a parent child hierarchy to find the component. One thing that we've been using recently is AI. So we're using it's an API called Helenium. And what this does is if there is a change, like say a developer makes a change or a customer makes a change to a website and pushes it out there and your scripts fail, what this AI does is it finds the change, it logs it, and will continue running. and your script will continue to run and it'll log it so you can see where the change is. So we've been prototyping it. We have one product line using it. It looks very promising because, you know, the biggest complaint among, you know, project managers is, you know, the maintenance factor, right, in test automation scripts. But with this new AI technology, it's really helping us when there's changes that are pushed and we're not notified of those. So it's kind of exciting. And the stuff that we do, we're even using machine learning. We're looking at OCR, which is, I think, object character recognition. And, you know, one of the things that people like to do is compare two images, right? But they only want to look at the text, not all the colors or the image behind it. So what Sure. this machine learning does, it filters out in layers, it filters out the pixels of colors and just identifies just the text. We're currently prototyping that right now. And I'm real big, you know, I come from the private sector, so staying up to date with the latest and greatest technology is important because in the end, it's helping our veterans. And I'm a disabled veteran. I flew for the Army for a number of years, and I have disabilities. So it's really important that our products are quality, you know, they perform like they're supposed to. So I have skin in the game. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like you really do. And just a final question on the modernization that's going on throughout VA. There's a lot going on many fronts. How do you ensure that people are aware of the tool that you offer? And is there a way you can kind of make Yes. sure they, hey, guys, you really ought to try this one?
Yes. So 2 years ago, I was kind of we created this team. And we hit all the OIT lunch and learns, and I call it the roadshow. So we hit all these, like PM will have their like a big monthly calls. I try and hit all the lunch and learns, all the different conferences through the VA has to get the word out. Starting in January, we start up a roadshow to get to get our product out there. We try to push it, standardize it. You know, the word's getting out. Just yesterday, I had a PM said, hey, I heard about your framework. Can you do a demo? So we're always pushing it and trying to advertise it out there in OINT and standardize it because it's saving the VA money. And, you know, our tool may not be a perfect fit, right? There's not one tool that fits everybody's needs, but we do our best to, you know, meet the product line's requirements.